You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are in the summer school series, so I am reading another section out of The Art of the Relationship by Gary Landreth. And this is specifically the fourth edition. I've mentioned it before. It's the newest one. I actually own the first edition, but the newest is the fourth. So if you're interested in picking up a copy, that is the one that is the most up to date and has a couple of additional things that the earlier editions did not, but really kind of a foundational text. And that's what this summer school series is all about. So that's what we're doing. But before we dive into this section, I wanted to share a little bit of an update for you. I don't know if you all listened to the episode where I shared Gabby from South Africa's story, but she is the art teacher in South Africa. And so I was talking about how important it is to have child-centered principles at use in the schools. She actually sent me a recent follow-up email, and so I wanted to share this little story because, oh my gosh, it just makes my heart happy. So she says, "Hi, Brenna, I have to share this with you. A little boy walked into my art room, looked at me, and said, 'Gabby, every week I come here, you've been giving me choices. Why are you doing that?' Me: 'You're wondering why I'm giving you choices. I'm wondering why you think I am.' He looks at me, gives me the biggest smile, and says, 'Oh yes, I forgot. It's because I've been talking too much and I need to work more quietly.' He worked quietly for the rest of the session. I'm oh so proud of him and so happy about how well this works. He did it. He worked it out for himself and we've shifted from external to internal regulation." Oh my gosh. Isn't that the beauty of what we do and why we do it? He can't quite make sense of the fact that he's continually given choices. And so he's wondering about it, brings it up. And then Gabby returned responsibility and gave him an opportunity to ponder it for himself. And it's self-actualization in front of your eyes. He knows what he's struggling with. He knows what he needs to do. And he associated the fact that she was constantly giving him choices with the returning of responsibility to control his own behavior. So his response, so insightful, so astute: "Oh yes, I forgot. It's because I've been talking too much and I need to work more quietly." And then he did. That is why we provide choices. That is why we do everything that we do in the playroom, because there is a beneficial outcome. And so, Gabby, thank you for the update. And oh my gosh, that just makes me so happy. And good for him. I'm so excited for him as well. And this is why child-centered play therapy needs to be in every environment where there are children. It doesn't matter what the environment is. If kids are there, the adults need to know child-centered play therapy. So let's make that happen, y'all. Pipe dream, I know, but one starfish thrown back into the ocean at the time, right? Okay, so let's get back to summer school series, Art of the Relationship. I am reading from, let me see what chapter this is. I don't even know. I'm reading from chapter 4, and I want to go through the 10 tenets of relating to children. And wow, are these so powerful. I just get your seatbelts on. Your therapeutic seatbelts on. Because these really, if we get this, we have the stage set for everything we need to do afterward. All the skill work, all the clinical work, all the technique, everything that we need to learn, it all hinges back to these 10 tenets. So I'm really looking forward to going over these. And I think these are going to make such an impact on your work and your understanding of what we're doing. Straight out of Gary Landreth's mouth. Okay, so he opens this entire section with, "This is the process of relating to children from a child-centered frame of reference." Okay, so as we are in play sessions and as we are interacting with kids, we have a process. This is one of the things that you all have been, I'm going on a side turn for a second, but I promise I'll regroup. This is one of the things you all have been saying to me in communication with me all the time lately. And, you know, I track threads that are woven together through everyone's stories. And I'm constantly looking for the connections and where everything kind of comes back to. So many of you have been reaching out to me or talking to me or whatever. And so many of you are saying, it's child centered play therapy just resonates with me. There's a resounding yes, because I get the framework now. Because I see that there is a system, because I get that there's a process. You've helped me understand that there actually is a template to all of this. And gosh, y'all, like, it didn't even dawn on me that that's what was missing in the training until so many of you started saying that to me. And that's it. If we look at child-centered play therapy as this willy-nilly, we're just doing whatever we happen to think is best in the moment because the kid is leading, that is not child-centeredness. We very clearly and distinctly have a framework. And the framework is what supports the work that we do. We absolutely have a system for this. So these 10 tenets are actually part of that system and framework. So we have to get these as well. All right. So the first one, children are not miniature adults. Wow, I could just stop right there. The podcast is over. That's enough for today. Children are not miniature adults. We do not respond to kids as if they were on our level as an adult. They're not. And how many parents and how many other adults in their lives not only respond to them that way, but expect them to be? And child-centered play therapists do not. We do not think that they're miniature adults. Ever. Developmentally, emotionally, physically, psychologically, socially, academically, none of it. They're not miniature adults. So it starts there. Number two, children are people. They're not just small things. They're people. They are capable of deep emotions. They're capable of the same experiences that we have. They have joy and pain and sorrow and excitement and pride. Everything that is involved in existing in the world, they experience it and feel it. They're people. Number three, they are unique and worthy of respect. We recognize the uniqueness of every child. And we respect them for it. They have their own special thing, every single one of them. And we honor that, we celebrate that, we recognize they're unique and worthy of respect. Kids aren't given hardly any respect from anyone, anywhere, at any time. And as tragic as that is, honestly, like, sorrowfully hurts my heart how disrespected kids are. They're not when they interact with us. And what a gift that is. Unconditional acceptance, unconditional love. You're unique and you're worthy of respect. And we treat them accordingly. Number four, children are resilient. How often do we talk about this with parents? I mean, this one I think is probably one of the easier ones to express to parents. The first three, that might be a tough sell for a lot of moms and dads. But children are resilient. We kind of have an entire approach that honors the resiliency of children. They possess a tremendous capacity to overcome all kinds of things, situations, obstacles, experiences, circumstances. They are resilient and they can move past anything that they need to. Number five, children have an inherent tendency toward growth and maturity. That's self-actualization in a different explanation. They have an inner, innate sense of what's going on. They possess wisdom. They possess insight. They possess knowledge. They have an inherent tendency toward growth and maturity. We just need to get out of their way. We don't force them to come in our direction. We just move and give them the lane, and we serve as the therapeutic guide rails on the road. Number six, children are capable of positive self-direction. That's an interesting one. They are capable of figuring things out and dealing with their lives in creative ways. kids rarely do things, think things, feel things, behave in ways that we expect them to. But they figure things out in their own creative way. If given the time, the tools, and the opportunity, they will positively self-direct. Number 7, children's natural language is play. And, okay, I'm going to go on a brief tangent here. In my coaching program, I ask all of my participants to write, what is play therapy? A little mini essay, if you will. And I forbid them from using play as the child's language and toys are their words in their explanation for so many reasons. But as far as one of the tenets go, we will not use that as an explanation for what is play therapy, okay? However, children's natural language is play. This is the way that they self-express, and this is the way that they communicate in a most comfortable state. We wouldn't need to play with children. We wouldn't even have play therapy if they didn't naturally communicate through their play. So while I don't value that as an explanation for what is play therapy, I absolutely value it as one of the tenets for relating to children. We don't force them to come into our intellectual cognitive world. We allow them to stay in their natural, playful, emotional state, and we go to them because that's their natural medium of self-expression. Okay, number 8. Oh my goodness, y'all. Here we go. I told you to put on your seatbelts. Children have a right to remain silent. Dun, dun, dun. I cannot count the number of conversations I've had in the last month with therapists asking me, what do I do when the kid says nothing the whole session? How am I supposed to reflectively respond when they literally just do not say a word to me? I have no idea what they're thinking. I have no idea what they're feeling. Oh my gosh, this is the worst session I've ever had. And they're hard. I don't mean to undermine how difficult a session is when a child is not talking. However, tenets for relating to children from a child-centered frame of reference is they have the right to remain silent. And we respect their decision not to talk. Whether they're unwilling to talk, whether they're unable to talk, whether they are too anxious to talk, whether they are too angry to talk, whether they're resisting and they have no desire to talk. Regardless of the reason, we respect their decision not to talk, and they have a right to remain silent. Play therapy does not work if a child is silent. We have to get our own preconceived notions out of the way of what a play session should look like, because a child does not have to talk for play therapy to be effective. Does it make it easier on us when a child talks? Heck yes. But it does not mean that we need to be concerned if a child is not talking. We respect that decision. Number 9, children will take the therapeutic experience to where they need to be. We do not determine when or how or why a child should play. They will take their experience to where they need to be. They know how to guide themselves. They know what they need to do. They will get themselves where they need to be. They will take their experience exactly where it should go. So we do not ever attempt to determine what that looks like. And then finally, children's growth cannot be sped up. Oh boy, there's another doozy, right? How many times do we really, really question 30 sessions in if we need to do something to force things to go a little bit faster? Or we feel pressure from the school, or mom emails us and says, how many more is this going to take? Because I just do not see the progress that we have wanted to see, and we're like 20 sessions in. Or whatever the reason, sometimes it's within ourselves. Why in the world is this kid not XYZ? Why has this kid not done such and such yet? We have little mental timelines for ourselves too, Parents have them, teachers have them, principals have them, pediatricians have them. We all have preconceived notions of a time frame. And not that they're always the same, but everyone possesses one. And so when we recognize children's growth cannot be sped up, we recognize that this is an individual process and we're patient with the child's process. We don't rush it. Certainly don't force it. We're not constantly pushing. We honor the child's process. We're patient and we recognize that the child grows as the child grows. All right. And to wrap this up, Dr. Landra says, children are persons in their own right. They do not become persons upon the attainment of some predetermined age or after having met certain criteria. Each child is a unique personality, and that uniqueness is not dependent on any significant person in the child's life. Neither is personal significance limited to or a function of the child's behavior. Therefore, children are worthy of respect because they have worth and dignity. And we appreciate that uniqueness and we respond to them as people. They don't have to earn the distinction of being a person. They already are. And so we treat them with the honor and the dignity and respect of being a person. And that changes the entire relationship. And as we've mentioned so many times, the entire premise of child-centered play therapy is founded on the relationship. So we cultivate a relationship that honors those 10 tenets. And through that relationship, children are able to do the work that they need. Oh my gosh, such great stuff. I hope that you're liking this summer school series. I'd love to get some feedback from you. I know, oh my gosh, resoundingly, every one of you said yes, 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 reads from some of the seminal work. So I hope that you're enjoying this. I hope that it's grounding you. I hope that it's centering you. I hope that if you've not read these or you haven't read these in a long time, you're starting to see that everything that child-centered is all has a foundation. And we start there. And that's what these seminal texts are doing. They're providing a foundation. So hopeful that this is meaningful to you all. I'd love to hear from you, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. And hopefully we'll continue this for the rest of the summer. And you know, we'll continue to dive into more texts and more works and more important information for all of you. All right. I hope that you all have had a great week. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thank you for the time that you spend with me each week. I love spending time with you all. Love you. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.